It didn't know what it needed, perhaps, but it was waiting for a Savior. Israel was waiting for their Messiah. And I think that all humans were waiting because they were humans like us. And their reality was much like our reality. Sinners were waiting for a way out of guilt and shame and the power of sin. Self-righteous people were waiting for liberation from their fear and exhaustion of trying to be perfect, trying to avoid the punishment of God. People under political oppression were waiting for justice. People in breaking relationships were waiting for a new heart and a way of reconciliation. Spiritually thirsty and hungry people were waiting for satisfaction of an intimate and personal connection with the living God. Lonely people were waiting for true love. Sick people were waiting for one who could bring healing that doctors couldn't bring. Everyone was waiting for a Savior who could overcome what they feared, death, and allow them to live and not die. The incarnation was an invasion of the Lord's life into darkness and death. And it was an example, it was a call for you and me to incarnate. Why? Because the cross revealed that this is the way we are to live, by sacrificing like Jesus sacrificed, like bearing our cross as he bore his cross. Christ's body on the cross created another body, the church, the fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ. And that body is to be the incarnation of Christ, him shining through his body of individuals and groups of believers, making Christ known. One reason to incarnate is because the love of Christ compels us. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, we read these words: "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for those who died for him, for them, and was raised again." So it could be, we don't even know for sure what that phrase, his love compels us, mean. Maybe it means several things. The love of Christ compels us. Maybe it's the love of Christ for us that compels us to be like him and reward him for what he has done. It could be that the love of Christ for others compels us. Probably both of those are true. Another reason to incarnate is to reward his sacrifice with sacrifice. Think of what he has done for you. Think of that. Don't you want to do that for him? Not because we should. Not because we have to. But because we want it to not be for nothing, that he gave us everything. So how do we incarnate? How do we do this? There's an example in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. And in this passage, we read something amazing. There was a famine going on, and Paul and others were going out and letting churches know that there were those who were suffering because of famine. And so they were taking collections. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testified that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. How did they do that? How did these very poor people give and give and give for others who were going through famine? In fact, they were giving so much, we learn in another place, that they had to be told to stop. Stop giving. You've done too much. It says, by the grace of God. In Philippians 2:13, it says this, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. How do we do this? How do we incarnate? First, having the will to do it. First, having the will to sacrifice something we value for the good of Christ being revealed to another. I want to say to you that for me, that's not natural. It's not a natural thing for me to want to give up so that others can know Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2:13, we read that God, though, can work in someone like me, in someone's heart like mine, and help me to will, to want to. Maybe that's where we are. We don't really want to. But maybe we want to. And that's where the Holy Spirit can come and help us to have the will to sacrifice like Jesus sacrificed. And then the Holy Spirit empowers us. The way that we can sacrifice is by grace, like those Macedonian believers. He gives us the empowering to be able to give what we need to give in sacrifice, or give up what we need to give up in sacrifice. Well, when do we incarnate? I think if we read Scripture, we'll find that there were two answers to this question. One was an intentional sacrifice. People praying and being called, being led to making a sacrifice for others for the sake of Christ. In the message notes, there is a suggestion on a process to follow to incarnate, to be dangerous as we live day to day. First of all, to ask the Lord to reveal his heart for a person or a group of people. We need to get God's heart. We need from the Holy Spirit our hearts to be moved for the needs of others. And if we get some leading in that, then we can pray about how to make that happen and what God has given us to make that sacrifice possible. Make a plan and set a deadline to fulfill it. That doesn't sound very spiritual, but the most fruitful of results can come when we trust the Lord enough to say, I'm putting it down. I trust him enough that I'm going to put it down so that I will do this for him. Remember with the Corinthian or the Macedonians, their sacrifice was they gave themselves to the Lord and then to others. Pray for the person or group receiving to see Jesus in the act as you carry out the plan. Not to see you, but to see him. So that is kind of that intentional, planned way making sacrifice. But then there's another way that we see in Scripture, and that is the now coming to us, the now timing. Sometimes heaven has prepared works for us to do, sacrifices to make, and we're living our lives, and those moments come to us. We didn't expect it. It just showed up. Heaven knew it was coming. Heaven was waiting. But for us, we're walking through our lives and it just showed up. It just came to us. And at that time, will we, like Jesus, be full of grace and truth? Will we take that step that he took into this world, into darkness of need and deception, and bring the sacrifice that could be brought in that moment, whatever it might be? It might be money, it might be time, it might be listening, it might be sharing some talent you have, giving. Do you know what else the sacrifice might be in the moment? Giving up. Giving up. Not taking or keeping, like Jesus didn't. Jesus said equality with God was not something to be grasped. He let go of what he had. He gave up what he had, the rights to what he had, to make a sacrifice. We need to be aware of how God works in us, what he's given us to give, and what sometimes we might need to give up in the moment if people are to see Jesus Christ through us. For example, for me, I like to win. I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying I think I was born that way. And it's never an excuse, but it's a leaning I have. And when I get into a discussion about something I really care about, or there's something that is important, I like to win the discussion, the debate, the argument. I have found that I can win and lose the testimony that Jesus Christ wants to make through me. It's not my victory that matters. It's his victory that matters. And sometimes his victory has to come through what I consider to be a loss. There have been times when I could have won an argument, I believe. But the Lord, I believe, told me to shut up. Be quiet. And those were some of the most fruitful times of influence of Jesus Christ being revealed through me, I believe. How about that? The biggest fruit being me not saying anything or doing anything rather than doing something or saying something. But we need to be aware. What is our tendency that can shut off the light shining through us that we might have to give up? So the bottom line in incarnate is that, like Jesus, we are to make dangerous sacrifice. We are to be dangerous to darkness by a way of living, of sacrificing, so that the life of Christ might be revealed and known to others. Is there anything you don't want to give him? What kind of sacrifice would you love to give him? Because of what he's done for you, what do you want to give to him? You might not think of yourself as a dangerous person. Paul writes to the Philippians, shine, the way you're living, they were humble people. But he said, you are shining like lights in the universe. That's what he wants of us. As the Holy Spirit empowers us, we can be dangerous. The cross was the most dangerous act to darkness in the incarnation. One of the most dangerous things, one of the greatest dangers to you being dangerous, is the possibility of you thinking, you believing, embracing a lie that you are not enough for Jesus Christ to shine through you. You are not good enough because of your sin and your past sin. You, because of who you are, you could not possibly be dangerous to darkness and let Jesus Christ shine through you. Because of what you've done, you are disqualified to be dangerous to darkness. That is a danger, that lie, embracing that lie to you being dangerous. Turn away from that lie. Turn to the truth, to the one who is the truth and full of grace. He has made you worthy. It's not about you. It's not about what you could do or couldn't do. It's about what he has done and wants to do, will do through you. If there is a vessel with a light shining in it, it's a really good thing for that vessel to be broken so the light can shine through. Where the glory of Jesus Christ is displayed is when he shines through broken vessels. When he displays his grace in us and through us. Christ in you, Christ through you can be dangerous. You can be dangerous through sacrifice. You can do all things through Christ who works through you, who shines through you with grace and truth. Would you stand with me, please? Lord God, I ask that you make all of us to want to be dangerous. I ask all of you, or I ask you, Lord, to help all of us believe that you can do all things through us. You can shine through us. I ask you to help us to believe that we can sacrifice like you sacrificed. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to know when and how you want us to sacrifice, to give ourselves to Jesus and then to others that he loves, who he loves, that he would be known, that light would shine in the darkness, and that darkness would never overcome it. We pray in his name. Amen. There was a group of Moravian missionaries in the 1700s who were being blessed by God. He was moving them. And they, in that time, they came out of Germany and the Europe, the area of Europe, and God was leading them to go to the literal ends of the earth on missions from which they would never return. And many died on the mission field. And when the Moravians heard about the lives that were given up in other places in their meetings, they believed the Lord would have those who died for Christ replaced, and that the number who died would be replaced by those in the meeting, and they would go. And when people would go, these Moravian missionaries, all their loved ones would go to the pier as they were ready to sail away for the rest of their lives. And of course, there was sadness and grief there. But they had a tradition. And the tradition was that those on the pier and those on the ship would call out to each other for the Lamb and the reward of his sacrifice. I want to remember that tradition today. So I'm going to speak a line, and if that line rings true for you, I invite you to follow with "for the Lamb and the reward of his sacrifice." Okay, the words again are "for the Lamb and the reward of his sacrifice." I give my life because the love of Christ compels me, for the Lamb and for the reward of his sacrifice. I want to sacrifice to show others the truth and grace of Jesus, for the Lamb and for the reward of his sacrifice. I want the light of Jesus Christ to invade the darkness through me, for the Lamb and for the reward of his sacrifice.